The Jason Gregor Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev, where right now prices are reduced by $7,500 or more on 2017 Corvette Stingrays with 0% financing for 60 months. Winter pricing in August at Lakewood Chev.
Our big guest of the day brought to you by Alberta Mortgage Funding. And hey, never know what happens with your divorce. You might need them. If you need equity in your home or other property, AMF can arrange financing for any purpose, including a wedding, without credit, check, income, or employment. Apply online at albertafunding.com. No, I'm kidding. They can't really fund your wedding. Mike Riley, who I'm pretty sure, well, actually, I'm 100% sure, did not get married in Vegas. I don't know if he met his lovely wife in Vegas or not, but he joins us now. Mike, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You guys didn't meet in Vegas, did you?
No, we did not. I'm not sure if I would ever choose to marry somebody that I met in Vegas, but you never know, man. Maybe there's still some good ones left down there.
You never know. you never know. Did you? But you never thought after that maybe getting married in Vegas would be a good idea, did you?
No, I had my bachelor party in Vegas, which was a great idea. But other than that, I'm not sure if I want my marriage associated with Vegas in any way, shape, or form. But hey, you know what? I'm not bashing you either, because I know there's people out there that are probably listening to this and upset with my comments. So, hey, if it works for you, it works for you.
It's very true. It is very true. You guys start the season 7-0. You lose two in a row. Obviously, the group's a little bit frustrated with that, even though it was pretty tough to go undefeated, especially with all the injuries. But as the field general for the offense, what has gone wrong the last few weeks in your perspective?
Well, I mean, yeah, we started off and we're playing very good football, and certainly we've had a dip the last couple of weeks. But, you watch the film and it's not wholesale major issues, which is obviously a good thing. But I mean, starting with the most recent game, what's wrong was my play at quarterback. I mean, that was one of the major issues. We had other issues that we could improve upon as well. But, from my perspective, the way that I always look at tape is, when we fall short, what were the shortcomings on my end that contributed to the loss? And, there was plenty for me to look at, and that was disappointing, because I hold myself to a certain standard, and I didn't live up to that standard in this past game. And in the previous game against Winnipeg, it was much, to the same degree, similar things in terms of just as an entire team, little details, not as glaring, in as glaring of a manner as it was in the Saskatchewan game. But, ultimately it just comes down to executing the fine details with laser sharp focus, which is what we were doing in the first seven games and where we fell short in the last two. So it's just a matter of getting back to that. And in certain games, when you don't have that, you can get a big play and make up for it. In other games, it just snowballs and gets a little bit out of control, and bad things continue to happen. That was the case in the last game. So, we just got to get back to what we were doing in the first 7 weeks. We got to make sure that we come out prepared and execute at a very high level. We're playing against a very good football team, clearly, in Calgary. And if you make those little mistakes, they're going to show up in a big way. But if you don't, if we come out and just play our game of football, then we'll be just fine. We don't need to do any superhuman effort to win this football game. We just have to do what we do and do it well, and we'll come out on the top end of that score.
At times in sports, when you're rolling along and winning a lot of games, the details of every game can get lost towards the end of that win streak. Looking back on it now, did you feel that was happening, Mike, or was it kind of just started with the second last game?
Yeah, I know what you're saying for sure. I mean, I think it happens throughout the course of the season for every football team. I mean, and it happens multiple times, in the sense of you go through training camp, and when you're in the middle of training camp, you're doing install and you're harping on the details, and guys are hearing it for the first time in 6 months, or for the new guys the first time ever. And so there's, as a player, you understand the importance of those little details, and they're fresh in your mind. And then the season starts, and you play a couple of games, and little things that you had in the front of your mind maybe get put on the back burner. And for a while, it doesn't really show up. It doesn't really hurt you. And the coaching staff always does a great job of reminding us of those little details. But, every once in a while, you need a kick in the pants as a reminder for that. And, you know, that's what's basically happened in these last two games. You know, it's something that we always try to focus on, the details and the little things, and make sure that we're razor sharp with them. And, you know, as Jason said at the beginning, you're not going to go 18-0. It's never happened. It's extremely difficult to win each and every single week, let alone, you know, just one week at a time. You're focused on being 1-0 because it's that challenging. But when you're making mistakes and hurting yourself and you're playing against the other team, it makes it damn near impossible. So, you know, I don't think it was necessarily a case of consciously, you know, you realize things are starting to slip and you're just kind of hanging on and still managing to get wins. You know, I think that we were doing things really, really well when we were winning football games. And then, you know, those little things just kind of crept up and all came to a head all at once, you know, for parts of that Winnipeg game and certainly for the entire Saskatchewan game. So it's just a matter of being honest with yourself when you watch the film, which it's not easy to do. You know, that was a hard 4 or 5 days waiting to get back out on the field and just sitting there and stewing over that last game and watching the film and realizing how poorly that I played. And I know our team felt just as a whole, we played poorly as well, but you know, sometimes, you know, you need that. You got to be realistic with yourself and watch those games and say, okay, this was not nearly good enough. It's time to get back to the drawing board of figuring out what those little details are that you know, we're screwing up and make sure that we're sharp with those things.
Mike Riley, quarterback of the Edmonton Eskimos, joins us to take on the Stampeders in the annual Labor Day match next Monday in Calgary, then the rematch next Saturday in Edmonton. Mike, you've been very accurate in throwing the ball this year, but you missed, I think it was 3 or 4 throws high in the first half. When you're missing high as a quarterback, what is it? Like, when you watch your film, is that a mechanical thing? Is it not planted? Is it releasing too early? What is it when, you know, when a guy like you, who's pretty accurate, is missing above on numerous throws?
Yeah, I mean, it could be any or all of the above. You know, in terms of that particular game, it wasn't any one thing that I was doing the entire time. It was just, you know, there was just misses. You know, sometimes misses happen, but usually they don't happen to that extreme case for me, which I guess is a good thing overall, but just disappointing for that particular game. There was some throws, you know, that we've had routes where there's been super tight windows and I've been putting them right on the money, giving our guys a chance to make a play. And that just wasn't the case in that game, you know. So, you know, sometimes it's just not your day, and you're just not you're not sharp with the accuracy like you want it to be. And sometimes it is a matter of, you know, whether it's your footwork in the pocket. Sometimes it's a mental thing. Sometimes you're not getting through your read properly, and you're just trying to make too much happen with the early portion of the play. And even though the defense is not giving you the available window that you want, you're trying so hard to make something positive happen, you know, that you put the ball in there and the window's not good to begin with. And so the ball's not going to be thrown accurately because there's just not space for that ball. And you should be getting back to the back portion of your read, checking the ball down. It's not the sexy play. It's not going to get you the big yardage downfield, but it's going to get you into either second and manageable or get you into first down on second and medium. And that's, you know, that's what you have to do to be an effective quarterback is, you know, not press, not try to make too many things happen and just go through your reads. And done a pretty good job of that so far this year, but certainly that was not the case this past game.
What does it mean to your offense to get, it sounds like, a Darius Mullen back in the lineup?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, he's an extreme talent. It has been for a long time. He's a guy that I've played a ton of football with. Very comfortable with him on the field for good reason. He's, you know, an imposing physical player. He's got a huge catch radius. He runs great routes. He gets open, and you know, he performs big time under the lights when you need him to. So, you know, it's been a testament to our depth and to our young guys that have gotten their opportunities, that have stepped in and played as well as they have without him on the field. And it's rare that you're going to have a guy like Kadarius out of your lineup and be effective to the point where you kind of forget what it's like to have him out there. But certainly having him at practice today out there running around, you know, you remember what it is that makes him so good. You know, he was out there playing effortlessly. There was no rust to knock off. I thought he just came in and picked up, you know, right where you would expect him to, being a big part of the offense, being available, running the right routes, running them well, getting open, catching the ball. But he brought a ton of energy too. You know, when you're a veteran guy and football gets taken away from you for a while and then, you know, you get it back, you don't take it for granted and you're excited to be out there. You know, I went through that in 2015 and,
And Adarius brought that today. You know, he brought a lot of energy to our club, and, you know, he's a great player. And, you know, anytime that you get someone like him back in the lineup, that's a boost to your team.
Mike Riley, quarterback of the Eskimos, joins us. Now, Mike, I know you're not overly interested in individual statistics very much, but are you aware that on the TSN fantasy football, like you're, because your numbers have been so good, you're like $4,000 more expensive than any other quarterback, so no one can play you right now. So a lot of fans are frustrated that they can't play you. Yeah. Will you put in a call to say, can you guys lower my value so then other players can play me?
You know, the only reason that I'm aware of that is because Odell Willis tells me every week that I'm too expensive for him. He can't afford me. And so he, every team meeting, he's always giving me grief about that. You know, so I say as long as he doesn't pick anybody from Calgary, I'm okay with it. But, yeah, I have heard those complaints. You know, hopefully it's still worth it. And obviously, we talked at length of it last week. It probably was not. I probably pissed a lot of people off that took me in fantasy. But I would hope that more often than not, it's still worth your while. But, you know, what can I say? I don't know what goes into making those values. It must be based on looks, I would have to guess. But that's probably why I'm so expensive. It's either that or it's direct correlation to nose size. I'm not sure. One or the other. Either one would make sense.
And that's what I want to go next. I know you guys had your picture day, and you know, do football players, like, are they spending time, you know, in front of the mirror primping and combing and, I don't know, back combing, whatever it is, or are they just kind of wheeling out there for the pictures?
I think it depends on the player, and more often than not, position group wise, guys tend to do similar things. So O-line, I don't think really cares at all. I think they take pride in not caring. D-line is definitely way more diva status
really?
Than O-line. There's no question about it. I mean, but it's like low-key. Like, they try to hide it, but they really do care for sure. I mean, and that's just with everything. Like, you look at Mondo. When Mondo travels, Mondo gets super dressed up. Like, his fashion style is surprisingly very good. But, you know, there's just different guys that take pride in those types of things, man. You know, some guys, for a while I took pride in having the worst hair and beard during picture day, and then the day after picture day, right, I would go get everything cleaned up. And my wife hated it, and my parents hated it. So I actually got cleaned up, went to the salon, got a haircut, and shaved up the day before pictures this year. I'm not sure if it's going to make me look any better, but I do know that for a while there, I took pride every time that they would put my picture up on the Jumbotron here in Commonwealth. It would just be like a huge caveman beard, and then I would be fresh shaved on the field, and people would just be like, who is that dude? So, yeah, I mean, you know, different guys do it differently for sure.
Now, I know on every team there's a guy that likes to get pumped up, right? So who's the guy that just before the pictures runs in, does a couple sets of squats or a bench press and guns?
They're doing push-ups.
Yeah, who is it? Who's the guy?
Stretchy bands, and they're doing curls like right before we go out there and stuff like that. The wide receivers are notorious for that type
really?
Of stuff. They got their sleeves rolled up.
Yeah,
you know, nice
Zylstra.
And they want to show off the guns. Well, I mean, Zylstra is like, he's like one of the most photogenic players in the CFL, apparently, like him and Ellingson. So those guys are on a whole different level. I couldn't, I mean, you know, but I mean, yeah, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but if they play wide receiver, they're guaranteed to be doing band curls before for sure.
And then you know what they do is they fold their arm and push the guns out a little bit more, right? Push the biceps.
No,
they sit all the time.
I think they're upset this year. We were like, for half the pictures, we were like sitting
in
the
that.
Individual seats. And right. So our hands were like on our knees. So they couldn't really like do that. And then we took like one or two pictures where everybody was standing up. I think they got all excited about that. And then they made everybody cross their hands in front of their waist. Yeah. And so there was no cheating this year. So thanks. So there was some disappointment by a certain couple individuals in that regard.
Mike Riley, quarterback of the Eskimos, joins us taking on the Stampeders on Monday. And you're a huge fan. You watch all the games. You know, the West is very tight. Nobody's even under 500 of all five teams. It's extremely competitive. And, you know, this series now for you, I think this is year five in the Labor Day Classic, Edmonton-Calgary. You know, there's been times where you've gotten beat down there and then crushed them back at home. What is it about that Monday game that's so tough to win in Calgary?
Yeah, it is a challenging game. There's no doubt. I'm excited about it. I haven't actually got to play in a whole lot of Labor Day games. I've missed basically two of them. I think in 14 I missed them because I had a hand injury, and then in 15 I was just coming back from my knee, so I got to play, I think, in the fourth quarter of that one. So I've missed a couple of them. So when you get an opportunity to play them, you get really excited about it. But it's challenging for sure. I mean, it's hard because Calgary's always a very good football team, and that's the biggest reason for sure. I mean, they're well coached. They play disciplined football. They don't take a lot of penalties. They don't make a lot of mistakes. So whether that game's played on Labor Day or at some other point in time in the year, anytime you play against Calgary, it's going to be challenging. But going on the road into their house on a Monday, it's just a little bit different game. You know, the game's earlier in the day than I think we've played. Pretty much every game has been 7:30 or later so far this year. And this one's an afternoon game, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, you get in a bus on Sunday, you travel down there, you're driving in a bus all day. Then you get to the hotel, you get checked in, and you go to bed, and you wake up the next day, and it's like, bam, the game's there quick. And they play really well on their home turf. You know, it's been a long time since somebody beat them in their place. I know we beat them late in the year in 2015, but there hasn't been too many losses by them in their stadium since then. So that in and of itself, you know, just generally playing Calgary in Calgary, regardless of the team, whether it's us or BC or Winnipeg or whoever, they're always very difficult to beat in their house. But then you put on top of that the provincial rivalry and all that kind of stuff, the battle in Alberta, you know, the Labor Day Classic, label it whatever you want to call it. There's a lot of pride on the line, and it's always a very physical game. So, it's a game that I get excited for. I love playing in it, but they're making no mistake. It's a challenge, and you better go down there and play your best football if you want to come away with a win.
Do you wear the hat all the time on the plane, or this week on the bus, or do you take it off?
I wear it unless I'm gonna sleep. I like to sleep a lot when we're traveling. Like, you know, JC sits next to me on the airplane. We'll jump on the iPad and play some Super Stickman Golf for a while, but then I try to catch an hour or so of sleep. So I generally take the hat off at that point in time, but the rest of the time, I'm rocking it, man. You know, I'm not just doing it for the cameras. It's a lifestyle, Jason. It's a lifestyle.
Hey, I love it, buddy. I love the hats. They're fantastic. Well, Mike, best of luck on Monday for the Labor Day and, of course, the rematch next Saturday.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. It was a fun time talking with you guys. And, Struds, I cannot wait to see you perform in a wedding ceremony. That would be unbelievable.
You can be my assistant.
The best would be him pronouncing their names. That would be the favorite part.
But see, this, if you're going to come as my assistant, Riley, you have to wear that hat. And if you're with that hat, I believe you have to either be able to play the clarinet or the saxophone. So which one are you going to play?
You know what? I'm going to go with the recorder. Hopefully that's an option.
You're uninvited. Sorry.
I know that you don't mean that. So I'm going to take lessons in the off-season. I'll meet you there.
Clarinet is the only thing I want beside me. It's romantic. It's a very romantic instrument. Just ask 100% of women. They'd say 50% of time, it's 100% of time. Very sexy, very romantic.
Totally sexy. 100, you got to be 100% man to play the clarinet. And play well, so, yeah.
That is very true. Mike, as always, good times. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right.
Mike Riley, quarterback for the Eskimos.